Blog Talk Radio.
As the legend goes, an old Cherokee was teaching his grandson about life. He said to the boy, "A fight is going on inside me. It is a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, guilt, lies, superiority, and ego. The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, humility, kindness, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you, and inside every other person too." The grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed."
Afternoon or good morning. It all just depends on what part of the world you're living in. Bienvenidos, que tal, namaste, oki, and welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show. My name is Will Green, holding down one half of our hosting duties live every Monday and Wednesday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio. Holding down the other half of our hosting duties, some call him Unc, others call him the Lions Historian. I just simply call him my best friend because he's my dad, Bill Green. Good evening. Que pasa, daddy-o? Papa, what's going on, man? How you doing tonight?
What's up, Wilfredo?
Good
to hear you do your, I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I was saying I can't call it.
Okay. You can't throw statements out like that and then cut it off, man. You got to finish the talk. I'm all jacked up if you don't. You know, I don't know if you're going to say, I can't hear you. I don't, you know,
Gotcha.
Yeah, you know, man, it's been, I'm looking at the studio board right now and checking out, well, I was checking out Facebook, And I know we might have scared everybody away except, you know, old faithful Adam. We might have chased everybody else out of here last week. It got kind of light. What was it? Last week. Yeah, today is Monday. Yeah, okay, man, I'll tell you.
But yeah, anyway, I'm with you.
Man.
This weekend went by. I'm like, what day is it?
Yeah.
So why do you think we chased everybody away?
I don't know, man. It got kind of live. I mean, that's a heck of a provocative question. You know, it's not like a debate or an argument chase. It's like, that's the kind of stuff we've been talking about that really is very provocative, I think. And, you know, it's like, are we going to talk some more about that? I haven't finished digesting what we already talked about. You know, like, where is that going to go now? And it's almost, I think, and I don't know, get more into normal, what's normal, what isn't. But I think it's an expected reaction, you know, when suddenly we're asked to talk about ourselves and mm-hmm. what it means to be me. Yeah. You know, that isn't something that an hour or 2 hours will adequately cover when it's been a struggle for 40, 50, 70 years. You know, so anyway, all relatively speaking, what's going on, you know, it's still too early to tell. But, it's all good. That just doesn't mean it's always got to be pleasant. Okay, I covered all my cliches, and I'm going to get out of the way so you can do your due diligence, man.
All right. Well, there you go. Sounds like it's going to be another good night. Before we, I should throw air quotes, get going. Because as you can see, once the music shut off and the microphone's hot, we already get going. But before we really get into the gist of our show, we always like to give our reminders, our due diligence, as Dan says. First thing, we want to remind everyone to grab a pen and pad, a pencil and paper, a post-it note, a marker, the back of an envelope, or even if you got a napkin. We want to make sure you got something to write with. Maybe you got questions, comments. You know, who knows? You might even pick up something from our discussion tonight or something you may want to check out or whatever. We want to make sure you don't forget it. We want to make sure you don't miss anything. Or maybe you have a question. Well, you know, you can actually share your questions and let us know what's on your mind here on our shows every Monday and Wednesday. So I'm sure you're asking, Will, how do you do that? I'm glad you asked. One way is that you can dial in directly. And hopefully you've got something to write with now. Our number here is 516-453-6094. Again, 516-453-6094. And what you can do is press 1 on your keypad. That'll put your number in our queue. We can bring you in as soon as we can. That way you can share any questions. And again, just let us know what's on your mind if you'd like to do so. Or you can chat with us chat room, or you can engage with us in our chat room. You can use your free Blog Talk Radio profile and go to the bottom of the screen for today's episode. And you'll see the chat room there, and you can engage with us directly. And then, of course, there's Ye Olde Facebook in the discussion tab. You can also post any questions or comments you have. So just some ways to engage with Dad and I every Monday and Wednesday here on our show, our due diligence. My apologies, Dad. It wasn't as smooth as... you know, how it's all good.
On,
it's all good.
Come on, man.
The pressure.
You
know? The pressure.
Why
every
do
week.
That, man? That was smooth. It was smooth as glass, man. Chill out with that. That's excellent, man. I tell you, it's like I'm thinking you push the button and it's just a recording, man.
Oh, watch out.
Do a great job with that, man. So here we are again, huh?
Yeah.
Once more into the breach, taking a look at you know, normalcy among Black Americans. You know, what's normal and Black in America, man? And the thing is, I think it's a very provocative question, and I think, you know, we're doing a great service to the question by turning this into a series of discussions instead of just throwing it out there and then moving on to the next thing, because I don't know, you know, what's a good next thing after, you know, delving so deeply into this as we have. You know, it's almost like, for me anyway, everything else is in one form or another related to this. You know, the question of what's normal in black in America. I mean, I've been thinking since last week, what would be an exception? And, well, I haven't come up with one, man. It's like everything I've engaged since last week has to do with the question of, am I reacting? Even the questions you posted that I just read before I came on online, you know, that you had posted on Facebook.
Facebook, yeah.
You know, even, you know, I have not found an exception to the question of what's normal in black in America. Everything, when we started that, has caused me to focus on my reactions to whatever stimulates me, whatever touches me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't care what the spin is in the news. I don't care what the talking heads are talking about. You know, I'm even finding a question regarding even the movies I watch. In movies I've seen 1,000 times and then looking at them the thousandth and first time and asking myself, is this a normal reaction to a movie, you know, line and verse, you know, and the normal reaction, the question is it normal for me to react in the way that I have, you know, like I give an example. How many times have I watched Casablanca? I don't know. Throw a number out there. It's probably accurate. You know, and even though I know that there's a part in that movie that has rubbed me the wrong way for as long as I can remember, the last time recently that I watched it, and I didn't watch it purposefully. I didn't have an intention in mind in watching it. It's just one of my favorite movies. And when I got to that place that I knew was coming, because they haven't edited it out, it's always there, you know, time, I reacted to it through a different lens, you know, and the lens of conditioning. You and Adam talked a lot last week about conditioning, and that word has really worked its way into my psyche. I mean, it's obviously always been there, but not in relation to what we've been talking about over the course of the last few shows. And it's this part in the movie where the piano player, Sam, you know, play it again, Sam. You know, that sounds like Sean Connery.
Anyway. That's all good. I saw Bogart.
I retired.
I saw Bogart. That was okay.
And Ingrid Bergman, you know, who I guess was a honey of Hollywood in the day. And, you know, she, you know, as far as Hollywood standards are concerned, you know, she's attractive. But anyway, she comes into Rick's Cafe and with her husband. And this is, you know, later on in the movie, you know, it's already been established that she broke Humphrey Bogart's heart. And so she's sitting at the table with her husband, and Sam is, you know, doing what he does in the cafe, playing the piano, you know. And she calls the waiter over and says, that boy playing the piano, what's his name? Why do they do that? You know, why do they have to remind us throughout our lives, you know, our conditioning? Now, there's 1,000 lines in that movie, you know, that have absolutely nothing to do with this one part, but yet this one part so clearly defines, even in a movie made in the 1940s, you know, a line makes it clear that no matter how good we are at what we're doing, we're still not going to be a man doing it. We're still going to be a boy. You know, and how for so often I've watched it, heard it, disregarded it because of the romantic twist to the movie and the drama and all the rest, and great actors. You know, but great actors compared to who? Because they all got the best roles, because that's who the best roles went to. Just, you know, hearing that line, the boy playing the piano, and she knew who he was. So, you know, it's not like they had drinks together, you know, before she broke Humphrey Bogart's life. So it's not like there wasn't any substance to the relationship, but the line had to make it clear that whatever she did, she could not show any favor toward this black piano player. You know, that in fact, she had to introduce him in a way that would be non-confrontive, you know, non-threatening, non-visible. You know, instead, let's stick with the stereotype. So anyway, you know, so this, and maybe it's because I'm as old as I am, and maybe now more than any other time, I'm feeling the need to not hesitate to grab every chance I get to visibilize myself. Maybe, you know, maybe some would say I'm overreacting, being overly sensitive, but it's not an angry thing. And I know, you know, that's what people are implying when they say overreacting, overly sensitive. You know, what they're saying is, oh, you don't want to take the chance of black male anger coming rushing to the surface. Well, it's got nothing to do with anger. It's got to do with introspection, you know. So anyway, man, that, you know, that's, I'm really appreciating on a selfish level what these past shows are doing for me. So sorry for going on with that.
No, you're good. I was sitting here thinking
Actually, I'm not sorry for going on and on with that. I don't even know why I said that.
Is that normal?
I'm glad I said what I said.
Is that normal?
Is that normal? Right.
Apologizing all the time?
Well, I think it's also a form of conditioning. You know, there's a degree of, I won't say false humility, but safe humility, you know, behind apologies, you know, and what's more, you know, what's more comforting or disarming than having a black man say, I'm sorry, even when he's speaking his truth. So anyway, so what's up, man? Enough of all this, you know, where I am, where you at,
I'm good. You know, listening to you, writing down some other notes I have, thinking about, like we're asking, what is normal? And it's kind of forcing that inward and outward response, for me anyway, you know, inward and how I, you know, digest it and how I give it out, you know, how I deal with other people. Especially our own people, with black people, you know, those energies and thoughts and feelings and all that stuff. So, yeah, I've really enjoyed this topic, this subject matter that we decided to go ahead and jump into. Like I said last week, you know, this is one of those shows in particular that really, these are those things that really plant seeds, I think, that and it really allows growth for us to think about and have some serious discussion. You know, in previous shows, in the last couple of weeks or so, you know, we've been talking about building habits and change and, like you said, conditioning. You know, but even in talking about change, you know, we talked about embracing imperfection because, you know, we get caught up thinking about change equals perfection, which it doesn't. You know, sometimes it's those imperfections we give to perfect days. And so, that's my weekly recap, you know. But then we got into what's being expected, talking about, you know, being normal, being black in America, you know, individually, what's expected, you know, ladies and gentlemen, how do you define yourself? You know, what's expected in our community? I think you mentioned last week, I think the term was expected identity for black Americans. You know, do we consider those things? You know, the other day, man, I live here in Riverdale, went to the Village.
Riverdale is the south suburb of Chicago, y'all, in case you're not from Chicago. Go ahead, sorry.
Right, that's right, because they might think it's Riverdale, Georgia, which always
or
reminds
Riverdale
me.
Or Riverdale anywhere. You know, anywhere. I don't know how many Riverdales there are in America yet.
Oh, but right. Anyway, it reminds me of the time I called the city of Riverdale in Georgia, thinking I was calling the Village of Riverdale in Illinois. But anyway, went to the offices of the Village here. To discuss, you know, a question I had about a bill. And, you know, I laid out my intentions and I was posing, you know, posting or talking to these people, laying my intentions on asking questions about this bill because it was a lot of money. They were charging me a lot of money for a short amount of time. And the short of the story is, you know, in speaking with the supervisor, who was an older black woman, and in the very beginning of the discussion, I can already tell she wasn't engaged and had no energy or even wanted to be in the conversation. You know, and it, to me,
how
her body language. Right. So her
body language
was when she sat down. First of all, I was writing down some thoughts I had on a piece of paper. And I'm standing there in front of the window waiting for her to come to the chair. So I'm writing down some thoughts I had on the back of an envelope, you know, getting my thoughts together. And so she sat there, and I didn't even know she was there at the window. You know, I wrote down my notes, and I look up, and I'm like, oh, shit. I mean, oh, you know, sorry for the profanity. But, you know, like, oh, wow. Okay, so I'm telling her the questions and the concerns and the problem I had with this particular bill. And immediately she's looking up, she's looking around, you know, she's taking breaths. And to me, that was just showing that there was really no eye contact initially. And so that was telling me that she was not, had no intentions on being engaged in the conversation. So by the end of the conversation, it was a Riverdale police officer in the office, and I got the answers that I wanted, but it was just so difficult to get these answers that I was looking for, you know, and it just like,
Well, wait, slow down. You know, so what did the Riverdale police officer have to do with it?
I don't know. I feel like that perhaps maybe they might have called in an officer because they didn't like the tone, my tone and my inflections when I was trying to get the answers to the questions I was looking for. And I felt like the answers I was getting were like roundabout questions. Answers. Like they weren't specifically giving me the answers I was looking for, which was, you know, all they were concerned about is when I was going to pay the bill. If I can pay the bill that day, and if I can't pay it today, when can I pay it? But there was
the officer showing up was a concern.
I think that it was a concern. That they had a concern.
Obviously it was. It was a concern for you because he showed up. You noticed
Yeah, it was a concern for me, and it just caused me to, you know, check myself, you know.
So was this normal to have to go through this?
I don't think that this was normal, but
yeah.
It makes me wonder on both sides of the discussion, you know, and because I've dealt, you know, in many years in customer service and retail and, you know, working in the airline industry. And all this stuff. So I know that there are people who, let's just say that there are people who try to take advantage. And you know, I'm sure that these people talk to a lot of other people who are just trying to finagle the system, let's say. You know, so I understand
that. But we're not talking about customer service. We're talking about what is normal and black in America. You know, so this is taking on a particular personal theme. And I just, you know, I don't want to desynthesize the whole thing, you know, and that's what we tend to do. You know, we tend to want to take the focus and onus off of us, like, I'm not trying to make it sound like, you know, I'm paranoid being set up or overreacting, you know. Well,
right.
You know,
yeah.
This is
yeah.
the whole point of this series of shows we've had. You know, is it normal to have to go through what you went through as a black man in America who got a water bill that was twice the amount of what it was the previous month, and the supervisor is not giving you customer attention, and you're not getting your answers to your questions about this bill that has suddenly doubled, and in the process of you trying to make yourself understood, a Riverdale cop shows up that had no reason to be there. I mean, is this normal?
So you said earlier, you said whatever touches me, and I like that, whatever touches me. What's normal to, you know, these things that touches me? So in this particular example, right, you know, what touches me? And I get this bill, like you said, it's twice as much because they made a mistake from the previous bill. And they tell me that it's my responsibility to report any discrepancies on a bill. Like anybody's going to go up to the offices, hey, you didn't charge me the right amount of money. You need to charge me more money. Nobody's going to do that. You know what I'm saying? So that touches me.
But still, that to me isn't even the point. You know, the point is you had a question about a bill. And everybody has a right to question a bill. It doesn't matter whether it's something that the receiving end wants to deal with it or not. We already know that utilities and all the rest of them, they are not going to come out wrong. You know, that dress is going to be a tie.
Exactly.
You know, but they ain't going to be wrong. You ain't getting nothing back, you know.
Yeah,
so
right,
a mistake is a mistake regardless. But it's not like your job to point out their mistake other than if it's a mistake made that's in your favor. I mean, else there's no point in having customer service. You know, so I don't mean to draw this out, but I don't want to make light of it either and turn it into a kind of situation where you have to choose sides. You know, you're given a personal account, and this is this is just where I want to just really try to keep the focus. You're given a personal account about an experience that you had going to the water company in Riverdale. You know. And to me, based on the times, the recession and the way prices are being jacked up all over the place and Biden's government, you know, wanting to be sensitive to the needs of the people, it would seem to me that the first thing a company like the water company of Riverdale would want to do is to help. But is it normal for me as a black man to expect it? You see what I mean? I mean, there's nothing that has entered my life this last week or so that I don't have the tentacles of the question reaching out and messing with me, man. So I've turned your story into my story. And you know, that's not fair for me to do it, man. So, you know, go ahead, man. I'll put my hand over my mouth.
It, you know, I mean, it's, you don't have to put your hand over your mouth. It's just the experiences that I've been dealing with as of lately. And in addition to looking at what's normal, when I was talking about building habits and making change and the growth that I feel within myself and the blessings I feel doing these shows with you and the, you know, opportunities I see in the future, all this stuff and all these, you know, self-love experiments, if you will, a building habit that I'm doing and high-fiving myself. And, you know, looking at all these things, what's normal? You know? And so it just brings me back to just what happened. And asking the question is, what's normal? And like the post I made on Facebook, you know, is it normal to have a different expectation when dealing with our own people? Is it normal to be okay with subpar customer support or service from a black-owned business? And I know you was like, well, what's a normal experience with a black-owned business? You know, is it normal to go to a village office to ask help about a bill and just, you know, not get the support that you feel like you should get from a place that, you know, you're paying taxes, you support these people's salaries, you know, and the least you can do is just get some, at least feeling like you get some support and some help. Is it normal to not get these experiences?
I guess what I'm wanting to do is put a little twist on it. You know, not so much is it normal, but what is normal? That's kind of like what we're asking. What is normal? You know, is it normal? Well, you know, that's relative. But what is normal? Meaning, what's my perception as a black man getting ready to engage, you know, any situation of customer service? What's normal? you know, what's the normal expectation? What's normal for me as I walk in? I don't care if it's a water distribution plant of Riverdale or Walmart, you know, that may not be a Walmart in my neighborhood, but a Walmart in another state in another city. You know, wherever I go, I take me with me. So what is, you know, what is normal, you know, in that regard? I guess that's, you know, just where I'm hoping we can kind of keep the focus. You know, is it normal? Well, you know, first to me, the question is, what is normal? You know, and if which I don't think is, you know, obviously, you know, it's rhetorical. I mean, I get that. But nevertheless, how often have we even rhetoricized the question? You know, I think there's just an acceptance, you know, based on a conditioning and a double standard, you know, that is also just thrown into the pot of a normal negative circumstance, you know, or an abnormal positive circumstance. I don't know which way we want to twist it. But what is normal and black in America? You asked a question about, okay, let's just focus on that for a second. Black businesses. Is there a requirement? What's normal, you know, about me as a black man when it comes to dealing with black businesses? What's normal? Am I just supposed to, regardless of the quality of a product, just sacrifice any expectation of quality, you know, to be supportive? Is that the trade-off? You know, do I get to treat a black business with the same scrutiny that I treat a white business that offers the same product? Is it normal, or what's normal in regards to reactions from my peers? Yeah, I mean, that's where my questions are, you know. So anyway, I'm still needing your help, man, to figure this out. So let me step aside once again.
Well,
to give a perspective of your
question.
Yeah,
I mean, that's why we're here. We're trying to help each other out. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to help us out, you're more than welcome to hit us up as well.
Well, you know, and before we go off into a undirected spin, you know, because there's a million different things, you know, just to get a perspective or at least some degree of focus, if you don't mind, let's see, we only got about a half hour left. Wow. So if you're okay with it, I just kind of want to rewind the tape for a second and not start over, but start from a place of focus, like asking the question, what is normal and black in America? Okay, first, let's take a look at normal as defined by psychology. It's as good a place as any. You know, Webster could do it, you know, Merriam Dictionary, anybody. Normal, conforming to a standard, usual, typical, or expected. So that's the standard, whether it's usual, whether it's typical or expected. So normal, conforming to a standard. All right, just starting from that place and that place alone, working with that, you know, definition for lack of another one, just for focus, you know, conforming to a standard, that is something that's usual or typical or expected. How does that translate in black American consciousness? You know, that standard, what is usual, what is typical, or what is expected? See, from me to me, I'm thinking that the definition from a black perspective may be and probably is very different than that of my white counterparts. And if that be the case, what then am I conforming to? Am I settling? You know, or am I feeling equal to treatment? Or am I still having to take my conditioning and use it as I jump through these hoops of fire, as it feels like I have for all of 75 years? Basically, a lot of us are changing the very essence of who we are anyway, right, in order to keep up with a notion that doesn't even exist, really. I mean, and that notion being normal. But nevertheless, what does it actually mean to be normal? You know, I mean, yeah, we're not. So, you know, there's the question, right? Whenever we, for the last three shows, we've thrown it out there. and it always inevitably shows up in the chat room, right? Well, what is normal? Well, okay, that's the whole point of this. So we pour that question, throw it out there in the chat room. Yeah, we got it. You know, we know it's rhetorical. But nevertheless, you know, the question remains, you know, how does it, you know, how does it, yeah, there it is. There it is. Yeah, you know, right away. What is the definition of normal? Yeah, okay. You know, I gave a definition of normal, but that's not the point. The point is, even in the definition, how does that translate? You know, what is a normal person like, for that matter? You know, and for the sake of this show, what is a normal Black person like? I mean, yeah, can we look at it that way? Is that okay, Will? You know, is that acceptable?
I think that's what we do anyway. So, I think it's not. Is it acceptable? It makes me pause and hesitate. Like, yeah, I mean, but anyway, I don't want to get into that because I think that's a different branch on another subject for another time. But you know, just what's accepted, is it normal to break that down, to define that then, was from a Black American experience, or you know, specifically between you and I, a Black male experience, even though it's not accepted, you know. I'm sorry, I feel like I'm kind of getting off course here.
Well, only, and if that's the case, it's only because we're not used to having this kind of discussion. You know, this is always a sidebar to an expected conversation that all too often doesn't include our perspective. So it's hard to zero in on, okay, so what is normal, you know, and, you know, What is a normal person like? What does a normal person look like? And for that matter, for the sake of this show, what is a normal Black person like? And what does a normal Black person look like? How does a normal Black person act in comparison, let's say, to a normal white person? You know, is there a recognized, slightly maybe, or maybe flagrant? I don't know. It's all based on perception, I think. But I would bet to say there is a difference. To what degree? I guess it depends on, you know, a person's self-awareness. You know, but even being self-aware and the healthiest Black person around in America, the question still remains, you know, and that has to do with, you know, what is being normal and being Black in America? You know, so anyway, I just don't think that we've had enough practice at having the dialogue about it. But, you know, that's just my take. You want to bring somebody in or you want to just bounce around some more with this between us?
Well, you know, Adam's in the queue. We can go ahead and open up the line and just go from there. What's good, Primo?
What's good, you guys?
You got it, man. How you doing tonight?
Good. How about you?
Good, sir. Good, sir. It's Monday and Wednesday, man. You know, I'm sitting on cloud nine, man. I'm a pig in, well, not pig in slop, but I'm good, man. I'm happy.
Nothing but the best. I usually dread Monday until 8 o'clock rolls around. I'm like, okay, it's going to be a good night.
That's absolutely. What's on your mind tonight, man?
So, I don't know if it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, you were telling a story about how you were delivering something for Amazon and you and Sue were in, I think you said you guys were in Indiana,
mm-hmm.
and you pulled up this driveway, and the minute you pulled up that driveway, you had your head on a swivel because you're like, okay, I understand where I am. I know what could possibly happen. But is that normal? If you weren't Black in that area doing what you were doing, even though you were clearly marked, hey, I'm an Amazon delivery person, I'm dropping off your package.
Well,
that,
you know,
that's the whole,
yeah.
You know, what's normal.
Yeah, and going back to what's normal, for me individually, as I mentioned earlier, it's these inward and outward responses that I have using the term that mentioned what's touching me. So here I am in this situation, just real quick. What's normal? Is it normal to have your head on a swivel? I think it should be normal. You know, if you remember last week, Dad was posting questions about what's normal in America. And unfortunately, it's I don't think it's comfortable. And we talked about guns and stuff like that. But I think it's good to have your head on a swivel to at least know where you know your surroundings. And we've talked about that in many shows. People just need to be aware of their surroundings. So that should be normal, to be aware of your surroundings. Is it normal to feel like I need to do that because I'm black in Indiana? You know what I'm saying? But that's, again, we're talking about that line of conditioning, I think, and what's normal as well. I mean, and then you're just coming up on somebody's property. You know, so, you know, living in America, it's normal for people to have guns to protect their property. I mean, so, you know, you can break down the layer of that particular question, of that particular example, you know, but I mean,
but is that what it means to be normal and black in America?
So is racism normal then? Let me ask you that. Is that you know?
Unfortunately, yeah, I think it's normal and it's expected.
Well, you know, Dad, I know you had a, you know, those list of questions last week. You know, I don't think that was one of them.
Well, yeah, but that was last week. You know, and we pretty much saturated that direction. Let me just throw some other things out here for the sake of, you know, broadening the scope. You know, like taking a look at normal being conforming to a particular standard of what is expected of us. Well, let's take a look at some things that is normal for some people, like believing that money is more important than happiness. You know, as an example, whether that's consistent with black and white America, you know, or whether that's based on one's own economic circumstance, you know, believing that money is more important than happiness, some people think that's normal. You know, some people think it's normal and forgetting what makes me happy. You know, pursuing a career that sucks me dry but pays the bills. You know, some people are raised to think that's a normal way to go through life. You know, saving my dreams until retirement. You know, some people think the focus is supposed to be on the job. And retirement is supposed to be the reward, not taking into consideration that by the time I'm old enough to retire from this job that's sucked the life force right out of me, I won't have any energy to do the things I've been holding off doing in the first place. Believing the experiences and opinions of others must be mine, you know. Thinking that my self-worth is best measured by my formal education, you know, that's all in one failed swoop, one statement, you know, believing the experience and opinions of others must be mine. You know, there was a time when education was not allowed for black people. Then there was a time when it was, and it was separate but equal. And then there was a time when it was recognized, no, it's still separate but separate. And then there was a time when Brown versus the Board of Education required that all forms of education be equal. And somehow from the 50s to the 21st century, the perspective of education gave way to the tradition of education. And even though black folks had everything available to us as far as, you know, educational formats, schools, colleges, whatever, there was nothing that taught us how to be black in America, just how to take an education and use it to whatever modes of success or whatever standards of acceptance we would, you know, use it for. But still, you know, the distortion of it to me doesn't really deal wholeheartedly with the question, you know. And that question, man, as you put it so perfectly, what is normal and black in America? I mean,
what?
The ebb and the flow of that, you know, what's normal and black in America when you've been a veteran in a war and black and come back to a country that you were prepared to give your life for, only find out back in this country your life isn't worth anything, you know, as far as what this country is not willing to sacrifice in order to give you an equal standard of existence. You know, how does that translate into a conversation with a child who I'm in charge of raising? How do I explain that? Do I just write it off as a double standard and then that's just how it is here, or do I call it racism or whatever? Okay, all that's fine. But does that help, you know, that child, and does it help me, you know, to have a better sense of my worth? You know,
but with
that,
normal,
that's okay.
No, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
But what's normal and what's black in America are the things that help us keep our black children alive. When I first started learning how to drive,
hold it. You got to back up and explain that. I don't get that at all. Help me understand that statement you just made.
What's normal and black
what's
in America?
What's normal and black in America is what keeps our children alive?
Yes, as a black parent, I'm not going to tell my son what normal is without justifying it. It's not fair, but this is what you need to do as a black person to survive. One of the first things my parents taught me when I learned how to drive, if I ever got pulled over by the police, was don't make any sudden movement.
Is that normal? You know, is
no.
Is okay, but this is the question we're having. And you even use the word survive. You know, is there a difference between survival and success? You know, as in regards to even taking on this thing. Yeah, I understand the rules of survival, but the question remains, what is normal and black in America? And if we're going to say it is normal and black in America to be taught survivor skills, okay, let's make that statement. Let's put that out there. Let it be understood. Not let it be a personal generalized statement that maybe one parent in a middle-class family will say to a child who is in a position to have a car, you know, okay, but let's be sure that that somehow translates to even somebody like me who would be riding as a passenger in that car with you, to be sure that we both understand the rules. Me, I'm the passenger. You're the driver. We both have the same knowledge and teaching about survivor skills. So if we get stopped, Bill, don't you start tripping. Don't you all of a sudden become, you know, Black Moses. You know, understand, these are the rules of the car. We got to put both, you know, I'm going to put hands on the steering wheel and turn on the inside light. You got to keep your hands on your lap, you know, or whatever it is. But we got to understand that right away we're suspect as soon as we get pulled over, even before we get pulled over. You know, that's so to me, with that understanding, then we can say this is normal and black in America to have to live this double standard. But we can't just, well, to me, we just can't be partial about that where it applies to one and not the other. No, we have to understand these are the rules of engagement. When you're in my car, you know, this is how we have to do it. You know, I don't have any time to educate you on how my parents raised me. I have you in the car, so if we should get stopped, this is what we have to do. And I'll tell you something. You know, that's exactly what me and your dad did once when we got stopped. We absolutely were real clear about it. We were in Chatham, you know, where Chatham was still half white. You know, Chatham is a south suburb of Chicago, y'all. And we were, you know, teenagers. And, you know, Art had the family car, so I think it was his. You know, and I'm city boy from, you know, the hood. Well, the hood was still kind of middle class, but the hood makes it sound cool. But, you know,
63rd,
we didn't have a car. my mother never even knew how to drive. There was no dad, you know. And anyway, so this was like a great experience. I'm out here in Chatham, me and cuz, getting ready to hit the streets. We dress to the hilt because you have to dress up. You know, you have to so you don't look suspect. You know, that's the other thing. The rules change. Now brothers drive around with baseball caps and jewelry and sucking on their teeth and music banging out, you know, banging ass, kill the pig. You know, nah, man, you know, we got pulled over because the damn horn stuck. You know, like, why y'all driving around blowing your horn? But the rules were clear, you know, because living in the Miller household, you abided by the rules of dad. You know, so my point is that was normal. The whole experience, as belittling as it was, being pulled out the ride, being searched, you know, I mean, you know, being patted down, you know, it just both of us, not just Art, both of us, you know, and having to go through the whole, it was almost like treating us like illegal aliens, being sure we had the proper paperwork. But we had to endure that in order to, I'm going to use your word, Adam, survive the moment. You know, and understand, surviving the moment meant not too long prior to that, seeing a young brother pulled out the car and having the shit beat out of him by two detectives right on 83rd and Calumet. You know, these kind of things are etched in the mind of one who experienced it. So if it's going to be recognized as being normal to have these experiences, see, that has to be understood, digested, and absorbed early in life. It has to become a way of life, probably similar to how apartheid South Africa had to do it, but definitely how we had to do it as slaves anyway. See, once we get that perspective clear, then we'll understand what we're dealing with. But as long as we keep skirting around it and talking about expectations without required education from our home, you know, then the rules of engagement continue to be as vague as they are. So when we ask the question, what's normal and black in America, I don't know about y'all, but that is not an easy question for me to answer. And it hasn't been for the vast majority of my life. I can give a million stories, but it hasn't helped make it any easier. As a matter of fact, the question has been, damn, you know, does this ever get any better? You know, I thought I was at an age now where, you know, my age allowed me some just due. And I'm still a boy, you know, as far as white America is concerned. So I'm sorry to go off on that rant. Go ahead.
No, but you would also mention that there's a difference between surviving and succeeding.
Yeah.
But there's no success without survival. So if you're, and again, it's all upbringing and teaching, and if you're not taught to survive, then you'll never be successful.
Okay,
and,
but
I mean, I don't want to say
no
never.
Guarantee you will be successful, and the idea is just survival. See, that still doesn't cut the mustard to me. That still says it is an incomplete existence to be black in America when the focus isn't success but survival. You know, how did that happen? It's not true for white America. It's not about survival. It's about success. Survival doesn't even enter into the conversation.
No,
it's all
because
about
that's that normal.
Well, after they become successful, then it's a matter of being surviving because they want to stay. Yeah, but that's a different
but
mindset.
If I could and again talking about what's
sure
wrong, I got pulled
that.
Over. Oh well, I think to a point, and I think. I know what you're saying. Well, is once you're successful, now you just need to stay on that level. So that's when the survival instinct comes in. Successful for some people, success is handed down.
I don't agree with that, and I'll tell you why I don't. Not in America. See, some people in this conversation means white people, and there's this thing called white privilege. You know, and white privilege circumvents all the conversation about survival. It's an expectation. That's what white privilege is all about. It's about not ever having to give up a step. You know, that's what white privilege is for, so that you don't ever have to deal with any element of survival. They've created a model of success, and this model of success only requires showing up. You know, but see, the dialogue around that sounds so victimizing, and that's why it's so hard, you know, for us as a community, as a people, as a race, culture, to see the question, the argument, the debate equally presented in all the forms of where we go to digest information about what this country is thinking. You know, it's, man, what's normal and black in America? I understand it's a very, very difficult conversation to sustain itself for long. You know, I already saw a couple of people dropped off from the studio, probably because, I didn't know that's what they were going to be talking about. I thought I was going to be able to come on and talk about what I wanted to talk about. Well, this is what we're talking about. You know, this is what we're talking
about. And maybe the question should be what's normal versus what's accepted.
No, the question should be just what it is. There's absolutely nothing wrong with this question. You know, what normal and black in America? That's like, okay, well, let's change, you know, Black Lives Matter. Let's say Black Lives Matter also. Or let's say, but Black Lives Matter too. No, it's Black Lives Matter. You know, what's normal and black in America? You know, that's the question at hand. You know, it's a perfect question, you know, that is supposed to be provocative in its response. It's not supposed to be, okay, well, let's soft soap it. Let's add something. Let's take something away. Let's make it easier. No, this is the conversation that has to be had, the hard conversation, the one that just keeps us zero in and focused and held accountable for everything that comes out of our mouths. Go ahead.
But the first question then, and but the first question is realizing, or when you're saying what's normal in Black America, it makes it seem like everybody's on a level playing field, and we know that we're not. But that needs to be addressed.
No, that's not what that question is saying at all. The question is saying, what is normal and black in America? Now, the statements are all fair. You know, so if you want to say one of your responses is, well, we all know it's not an even playing field. Okay, so are you saying then that's normal? You know, it's fine. The question is asking for any comments, not judging any of them, but recognizing that all of them are a response to the question. You know, there's no, this is a better response than that, or this is not acceptable. No, the question is asking for these responses.
Yep. And, well, if I could tell a story real quick, real quick. But, you know, you guys are my cousins, so I may use 1,000 words. I got pulled over, it had been 25, 26 years ago, with at the time, my girlfriend. And she was white, and I got pulled over. I might have been speeding, maybe doing 5-7 miles per hour over the speed limit. I got pulled over. They asked me to get out of the car. They asked my girlfriend to get out of the car. The first question they asked her was, are you here of your own accord? Dead in the face. She's like, that's my boyfriend. What are you talking about? Is that normal?
I can't answer that question. Only you can. Do you get the point we're trying to make here? You know, that's a story. Yeah. That talks about an issue that has to do with, I'm not sure, but maybe the statement has to do with it's normal to be a black man driving around with a white woman and expect to be pulled over. That's normal. Maybe that's the statement. You know, we ain't talking about fair. Yeah. We ain't talking about, you know, racist. We ain't talking about whatever else may come with, oh, that's my boyfriend. You know, we're talking about, was he pulled? It's normal to expect to be pulled over driving through wherever it was you were, which could be anywhere, you know, with a white woman. You know, yeah, I mean, that's the statement answers the question that probably will have a million statements, and they'll all be related to personal experiences. And hopefully the dialogue will put it all in the mix, stir it up, and come out with some clear-cut responses to the question, what's normal in black in America? It's not like, oh, no, well, this don't count. No, that counts. It counts just like, you know, me being alone driving in a car in Ellijay, Georgia, and being pulled over by a cop who thought I was somebody else and let me go. but it was because he thought I was somebody else, probably famous, that he let me go. But why did he pull me over? He never told me why, and he didn't have to. But did I do all the things by the checklist? You better believe it. No, it was the middle of the day, hands on the steering wheel, inside, interior light on, engine cut off, because you don't want to leave the engine on, because that looks like you may run it in a given moment, you know? So, yeah, all these things are all thrown into the mix. Y'all follow? Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm missing the point myself.
No, I'm following you.
But it's a mean deal to be answered, you know, not a question still to be answered. It's something to be taken into consideration, you know, what some people call normal. Some people call it normal, you know, to numb pain, you know, with television, with drugs, alcohol or other drugs, with music or any of the various technological devices as a means of escape or as a means of preparing for the day. You know, some people think that's the way to do it. You know, numbing the pain of going to a job I can't stand, you know, by doing the things that help me bear what I'm already expecting to have to endure for the next 8 hours. How about this? It's normal for some people to blame others. Don't matter. You know, fill in the blank. Some people think, you know, it's absolutely normal to blame others because, after all, if not for everybody else, my life would be fine. You know, it's an easy question, but a hard question to deal with. You know, and then when we throw the added ingredient of black, you know, that means having to include myself now. And that means whatever is of value to me. And, of course, for black men, can speak for black women, that means right away, you know, whatever it is that I take on as being normal and being acceptable and being desirable for me, I have to hope that my brethren won't turn against me for being that way. An example, you know, marrying outside of my race, dating outside of my race, you know, anything that ain't black is dating outside of my race. Dating maybe outside of my orientation. You know, I grew up thinking there's no such thing as homosexuality in the hood. You know, it was two things that did not exist in the black community that I grew up in. You know, there were no drug addicts and there were no homosexuals. I'm sorry, there were three. And there were no crazy people. Nobody talked about it, so therefore it didn't exist. You know, drug addicts, not drug addiction, drug addicts. Crazy people and homosexuals. So with that as the foundation of my sense of normal, then part of my DNA, part of my evaluation of myself, part of my survival success skills has to do with that which was imposed upon me. So if I start dating somebody outside of my race, you know, if I in fact have a non-consistent sexual orientation with, let's say, my family, if I develop a problem with alcohol or other drugs, well, that ain't normal to be black in America. You know, so I have to, you know, I have to right away take into consideration, you know, all the things that my culture has already imposed upon me. You know, and even what you just described, Adam, you know, being taught by your parents what to do if you get pulled over by the police. You know, it's not even a question. You said, I might have been speeding. I don't know. You know, they didn't say they're pulling me over because I got a white woman in the car with me. But what I have to do is, in spite of all that, I have to go down the checklist for survival's sake and do the things my parents taught me to do. You know, we don't even... It's not even normal for us to question protocol. You know, we have to fear the reaction to our questions. Is that normal? So if it turns out, yeah, like Will, you said, what did you say last week about crime being normal in the hood? And I said, right. Really? You said, yeah. So it doesn't matter if I agree with that or not. Y'all follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
you know, from the perspective of normalcy as we experience it, you know, it takes all of our stories to be able to understand what's normal and black in America. Nothing can be thrown out. All of it has to be taken into consideration.
Yeah, I think.
But the question. Go ahead.
Just posing the question. Posing that question really, it really shows that it's not an even playing field, actually, because we have to specify in America. We have to specify the minority in the democratic society. We have to specify the difference as compared to what is the normal race in America. I'm just saying. And I think that this is a topic that provokes thought and discussion. There is no one clear Webster's dictionary, I think. I mean, you gave it earlier, Dad, you know, as far as the normal definition in the book. But, you know, I mean, look, we've been, you know, last 3 years or so, we got COVID now, and everybody keeps talking about or still having this belief that things are going to be back to normal, you know, this whole normalcy thing. And again, I mean, you can even think about it in that sense. What is normal, you know, after dealing with the changes that we've been dealing with in the last 3 years? You know, I think that this is definitely one of those huge horse pills that I think sometimes we see and we just sometimes we don't want to take it on. You know, we don't want to have to deal with that big old pill and have to deal with the horror swallow.
Okay.
But
I just wanted to interject something because you used the example COVID. Well, let's pick on that for a second. You know, not the global issues at hand, but the more personable, the ones that are more directed toward, you know, what is normal in black in America. Is it normal and black in America to not want to take a COVID vaccine? Or not wanting to take the COVID vaccine, is that normal and black in America? Is that normal and black in America to say, I ain't taking it, you know, because of the experiments done at Tuskegee in the 1940s regarding syphilis? If somebody says that's why, you know, then that's normal. It's not about the argument of, you know, but the fact it's about, no, inside of me, there's a caution, there's a fear, there's a rejection of the premise. See, we don't get into it like that. Instead, it gets twisted into something about, well, you know, black, in essence, it's black people are stupid medically. No, it's not that we're stupid, it's that we're limited, you know, and we're not limited by choice. We're limited by policy. So why wouldn't we? What's normal in black and black in America is to be suspect of everything that is handed down by government. Well, how can you make that statement, Bill? Because government has never shown favor. But we don't talk like that. We don't talk like that. You know, we have to talk. We have to find a way to present debates, arguments, points of view in regards to the idea of normal being conformity, as if conformity is the standard that everybody is required to live by, regardless of treatment. I ain't white. Somebody in a therapeutic setting, in a group setting, may say to a white facilitator, who, you know, I myself being black, said, well, you don't understand what it's like being black. And that facilitator might then respond, well, you don't know what it's like being white. And both are right. But the question of therapy is, do I know what it's like being me? And then it requires all these questions being answered. And that's how I begin to understand what is normal in black in America. I may not like it, but at least I have an understanding that I didn't have prior to dialogue. anyway, yeah, that's where I am with all this. So to me, it's important to have an understanding of what normalcy looks like in America. To me, it's important to understand, you know, in looking at what normalcy looks like for people in general, you know, and to understand what conformity means in regards to normal, and then to accept the fact, but really nobody knows what normal is. I mean, you know, we live in a society that finds diagnosis in normalcy. Like, it's normal to be shy until psychiatry comes along and says, no, that's a trait of humanistic withdrawal that somehow also indicates a degree of very low self-esteem. You know, I'm just shy. No, you're not. You're sick.
Yeah.
And our diagnosis requires that you respond accordingly, else we're going to say not only are you shy, but you're also antisocial or rebellious or angry. Like, my God, man. So, you know, we black folks don't stand a chance when it comes to traditional diagnosis of psychiatric response to American policy. You know, I don't dictate policy. All I do is react to it, and my reactions is how I'm judged. I don't stand a chance. It's not until policy dictation is equal can people then compare each other, one to the other, based on recognized responses. But until policy is equal that way, you know, my reactions will always be the misdiagnosis of behavior. You know, it's normal for a black person to be resistive to policy because we know we ain't got nothing to do with its development. That's my opinion. And y'all know I only profess to be an expert in one area. And that's my own opinion.
Yes, sir.
Man, I mean, like Adam, stories, you know, your marriages, your relationships, your service, you know, your armed service, you know, that's a story waiting, you know, whatever issues you may have encountered along the way socially, if any, you know, these are the stories that until we have them, they can't be a part of the debate, you know, on what is normal and black in America. I don't think there's ever a time when the story of a black man driving with a white woman being pulled over gets outdated. You know, as a matter of fact, the fact that it still remains as a vivid memory suggests trauma. And, you know, but we're never diagnosed. Isn't that crazy? We're a culture born from slavery, but trauma is never a part of our considered diagnosis of presenting issues that sometimes makes it difficult for us to conform, you know, by American standards, because we've never been diagnosed as having trauma related to slavery.
Well,
but you got a whole. Go ahead.
I was just thinking. Then, if that happens, then identifying the reason for the trauma. I mean, that's why that doesn't happen, because you have to identify with the creation of the trauma itself. And so then that's where CRT comes into existence all of a sudden.
And being woke.
And I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Adam. Oh, man.
I would say another conversation for another show at another time would be what's normal for black America. Still, what's normal for Will, and what's normal for me, and what's normal for you, Bill, and what's normal for my dad, and what's normal for, you know, somebody across the country, even though we're all black, we all still have different normals.
Yeah, that's the point. And so we're required, all of us, to answer the question based on our own unique experiences. And there's no wrong response to that question.
And it almost seems like it's easier to be like, well, that's not normal. So it's easier to say what's not normal and then list that way and go backwards almost.
Yeah. And
but what
that's
are we comparing
the whole point of survival.
To?
Yeah. Well, it's not a 1 hour conversation that's going to provide a universal cultural answer. You know, this is still the great
hour show.
Being black in America is the great experience. I mean, the great experiment, not democracy. I mean, let's say, you know, American is the great experiment. No, being black in America is the great experiment. And it's a country that has continuously, since slavery, misdiagnosed the obvious. And we're still seen, we're still viewed, we're still diagnosed, we're still treated medically, you know, like something lesser than the greater whole. You know, I went to the doctor today. Actually, it's not even, you know, my doc, who's been my doc for like 6 years, 7 years, you know, without my having any say-so about it, turned me over to a nurse practitioner. You know, so my nurse practitioner is my doctor. And, you know, I high-fived her today. I told her two things. One, I told her, I said, I think I'm developing a crush on you because you're the most active woman in my life. And plus, you show care. And she laughed, you know, anyway. And, of course, you know, she didn't even turn red. She just laughed like she appreciated it. You know, but the thing is, and I don't know because I wasn't asked, she has done more in the year that she's been treating me, you know, than my man did for the 7 years that I was under his care. Or he made great referrals, but she's given me, you know, effective treatment. And why has it been effective? Because she's heard and addressed my complaints. Anyway, point being, given a chance, you know, of having a moment of a playing field being evened out, meaning someone in the medical profession seeing me as the patient who's shown up and not as a patient who happens to be black, you know, it's all the difference in the world. But it's all the difference in the world because for the 7 years I've been here, I've been determined to show up, you know, not just take what's given, but make it clear what I feel I need. Not always heard right away, like when I went through the thing about male menopause, but staying resilient, finally being treated accordingly. That, you know, is one of the greater, I think, one of the greater responsibilities we have, to teach people, you know, to teach them what is normal in black in America. Not, maybe not in those words, but like, already knowing, life has shown me what I'm going to be dealing with. So let me, through example, show these folks, you know, like, okay, usually at this point somebody's going to get all mad and they're going to start throwing shit at me. So I already know that's what they're going to do. So let me call the Riverdale cop because I already know that I'm not going to treat this man like a man. I'm going to treat him like a disgruntled, because I don't feel like being bothered with his ass. So I already know that's how I'm going to be. Now, me, I have to recognize this is a teachable moment. I have to, through all of what I've learned, I have to draw that in, and I have to teach this person what is normal and black in America. Yeah, amen. That's what I think is the task at hand. And I don't think we're going to be adequately prepared to do that unless we religiously compare all of our stories and all of our reactions and all of our stories. Yeah, whether, I don't care. Yeah, okay. Every story I tell, let's be clear, I'm the victim. All right, now we got that one out the way. So you don't have to say, you're acting all victim. No, I already said, I'm the victim. All right, now what matters is, as a victim, how did I act? So don't take me off, you know, off point here by saying, oh, yeah. And then we got to argue victimism. Okay, I'm the, or whatever it is you want to say. Ah, you just, you know, you're being impatient. You're an impatient black man. You always like, okay, fine. Got all that. All the stuff you got to tell me to defend that which is opposing me. All right, all that's out the way. All I have to do is tell you the story and tell you how I reacted and why I reacted that way. That's the teachable moment. And that's hard. That's hard for us to do.
teachable moments. Yeah.
Yeah, and then walk out of that water reclamation, whatever center in Riverdale, walk out and give yourself a high five. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's the reward, you know. That's the point, you know. That's why I did it when I woke up this morning. I gave myself the high five because the high five is going to be my calling card. I'm going to walk out of there giving myself a high five because I'm going to walk out a man approved. I'm going to pull off the side of the road, you know, haven't had all my stuff returned to me, still got my girlfriend sitting next to me, and we're going to drive on down the road, and we're going to high five each other. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah. But still tell everybody the story of humility, of humiliation. Yeah,
man. Yeah, I mean, once I never locked eyes with dude. You know, I saw him like in the reflection of the glass, and I never showed
all
any reaction.
Right?
Yeah, I mean,
I
never showed any reaction that he was there.
Yeah.
You know, and I continued to try to make my point, and you know how I can get sometimes. And hey, you know, I'm thinking this is an older black woman. She should understand what I'm saying. And you know, but in the end, I was able to not give in to the ego, you know, and you know, wrap it up, you know, and even though it wasn't normal, it wasn't what I expected. And again, you know, that's where the whole discussion comes from, ladies and gentlemen. What do you expect?
Yeah.
What is normalcy in your definition individually when it comes to yourself and then when it comes to your family, when it comes to your home?
Yeah.
You know, so I was able to not give in to my normal reactions of my ego. You know, you've seen me, Adam's seen me, you know, and...
That's right, you sure have.
Adam has seen me fully give in to my ego, you know. Got my ass in
got
some
all
detention.
Yeah.
You know, so I was able to high five myself for not doing that, man. But you know, it's not right. You know, is it accepted? You know, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, is it normal to be for that acceptance? Is it normal for that? And these are the things that we need to discuss and compare. And remember, it's not a competition. You know, in these discussions, I think we get caught up in the competition as well. You know, is it normal to experience this? I went through this, you know, and we get caught up in that competition of trying to draw straws or to show whose scars are the deepest.
Or to share a trauma. You know, that's the other thing we have to grow to understand. You know, somebody who remembers something is sharing a trauma. And sometimes Adam sharing his will jar something inside of me that I otherwise had blocked out, like an oh shit moment. That happened to me too. It's not about, but of course, we don't hear it that way. We hear it like what you just described. You know, something that, now, you know, I can top that. Wait till I tell my story. No, sometimes what we have to understand is this is how trauma works. But see, we don't have things like group support. That's not a part of our regular lives, most of us. You know, I don't usually see a brother or a sister, you know, who's engaging in anything therapeutically aligned with group support unless they're in some form of treatment. You know, we don't seem to understand the value of group support when we're free. You know, but these are the things that hold us accountable to where we get to share our trauma, where we get to disclose our pain, you know, and where we get to be comforted and supported. But we don't understand how those things are supposed to work until we're forced, you know, into a situation of non-agreement. You know, a lot of times it happens at jobs. In order to keep your job, you will go do this. You know, so I go do this to keep my job. And when I finish doing it and I have my job, then it ain't a part of my life no more, but my job is. My job that somehow felt, hey, you know, there's something wrong with you, but I'm, you know, I'm keeping that job, even though it made me go do some shit I didn't want to do. You know, obviously that job ain't helping me not do the things that would cause the job to send me to therapy. I can't even begin to tell the number of brothers and sisters that showed up in our treatment program at Mercy Hospital because their job, because of their cocaine use and abuse, their jobs demanded that they to keep their job. Well, the hell yeah, they're going to keep their job because that job was paying for that cocaine use. McDonald's wouldn't be able to afford that habit. It's crazy. But the reason for using, you know, as a means of coping is all too often because it's a job we can't stand or a situation in life we can't stand. In the end, you know, situations like that, we do what we do because we like what doing it produces, whatever it is that we do. We like the feeling that it produces. So I don't know. Adam, you ain't mad at me, are you, man? If you are, I apologize.
But,
did he leave?
No, he may have. I don't know. Well, anyway, he could jump back if you like. But all right, so I guess that's about it
for
tonight.
Until Wednesday, huh? Sorry, man, if I took us off the rails, you know. But you know, I don't know. Hopefully, we'll engage it some more come Wednesday.
Well, I mean,
and maybe, you know, I mean, maybe we'll make it more caller friendly Wednesday.
I mean, but it's a, you know, man. I mean, we'll have the blueprint laid out. You know, we know exactly what we're going to talk about and how we're going to set it up. But you know, it can go the other way, you know, so quickly. And this type of discussion, I think that it's so open, if you will, to allow for those moments of the side roads or the branch offs or whatever. Because then, you know, you're applying your own personal, you know, experiences and those things that touch you, which is different for somebody else.
Well, if I didn't know better, I think you defended me, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, you never know what to expect on our show.
My man.
All righty,
man. I'm going to get out the way, you know, and after causing all the turbulence, then I'll put the onus on you to land this airplane.
Right. You ever see those movies, ladies and gentlemen, where the plane is heading towards Earth and the pilot's trying everything they can to pull the handle? And it's getting closer and closer. And then the plane goes blank, you know, goes clear. You don't see it anymore. Then all of a sudden, boom, shit, it comes up. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's our show. Except we really don't crash and burn. You know, we still make it all the way through the end.
Oh, man,
so
you always land it. You always,
we always
walk away. And like your cousin Ray says, you know, it's a successful landing if you walk away from it. And we always walk away.
That's what we come out the crevice, man, and we still fly high. Every show. So, ladies and gentlemen, we always hope that you enjoy your time on our flights and our adventures every Monday and Wednesday here on the show. Adam, like that said, hope you didn't, you know, hope you're still there. Hope everything's all good. Hit us up when you can. But ladies and gentlemen,
it's all good. I love you guys.
Okay. All right.
Did you hear? Did you hear my apology, man? I apologize to you, man. If I
no apologies necessary. You said that. You said that early in the show. No apologies necessary ever.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure you didn't jump out the airplane without the parachute, brother. That's all. Like, enough of this. I'm out.
Not yet. I'm heading to the airport now, though.
Yeah, to the airport.
At the airport.
Right on, man. All right, y'all. All right,
I love you guys.
All right, Adam. I love y'all,
right,
man. Amen. Yeah.
Love you, too. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Great Ounce Effects Radio Show, where we try anyway to provide an opportunity to exercise critical theory, thinking, experience a renewed self-awareness, and maybe even a deeper connection to others and their experience, especially when we share interpretations and feelings. So our lines are always open. You could have been doing anything else, but you took the time to listen to us, and we thank you for that every show. I'm Will. That's Bill over there.
Yo.
That caught you on the breath there.
Sure did.
As always, ladies and gentlemen, Dad and I hope that you all be safe, be blessed, and be yourself, because, hey, man, everybody else is taken. So until Wednesday, we'll talk to you all then. Love you all. Amen.
Amen. Love you, Will.
Love you too, man.
As I lie here on the rooftop in the rain,